Assalamu alaikum.
And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow, where we get you ready and fit, whether body-wise or mentally as well, with all the different topics that we discuss during the week to get you to be the best you can be. So now we're joined on the line by Ronald Avergy. He's a fitness and wellness expert, and he joins us on the line in a few seconds' time. Just wait for this.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet ejaz at ejaz underscore k.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Indeed, it is that time where we're joined by Ronald Avergy. He joins us on the line right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, buddy Jazz? Are you good?
Hey, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How's things your side?
Well, so far so good in between meetings, but still you need to keep fit and need to keep healthy. There's no excuse not to.
Of course, and we thank you for availing yourself to always join us for the discussion. We will be discussing things that stop you from losing weight a bit later, but now it's time for the verbal fitness sessions.
Most definitely so. The favorite part of my day, and it really is to inspire everybody to get fit and get healthy. Now, you don't need a gym for any of the workouts that we talk to the listeners about.
Of course.
Because their body is their gym. It doesn't matter how young or how old, you can get fit and get healthy. Now, the following workout involves four moves that you will do for a minute each.
Okay.
And keep on shifting from one to the next. And the fitter you get, the more you can repeat those sequences over and over. And it's a combination of cardio and strength to really help you lose weight if you're struggling to do so, which is our topic of the day.
All right,
so the first move you're going to do is something called the reverse lunges. So what I need you to do is remember each exercise, you're doing it for a minute. So stand up shoulder width apart, take a big step back with your left foot and bend both knees to lower into a lunge. Go as low as you can, and you know, if you feel any pain in your knee, stop and then change legs. And what you then do is you keep on alternating your legs. So you drive off the ball of your right toe to standing position and left foot goes back and right foot goes back. Nice and easy motion. If you don't have balance, hold on to a chair in front of you and keep on repeating this exercise until you feel that wonderful burn in the legs, the front of the legs and the back of the legs. So keep doing the reverse lunges. The next exercise is very simple. We're going to go onto our tummy and you're going to push up into a push-up position. Now, we're not doing push-ups, so ladies, do not be afraid of this exercise. You can still do it. I want you to push up and keep your arms straight. Now, this exercise is called a plank with shoulder touches.
Mm.
So in holding the push-up position, you begin to incorporate your ab muscles. What you then do is, without moving your hips, let your right hand touch your left shoulder and bring it back to the underneath position, and then left hand to right shoulder. So you're tapping the opposite hand to the opposite shoulder, and you're going to keep on doing this for a minute. Now, you think it sounds very easy?
It's not. It's very hard.
It works your shoulders, your abs, your arms, okay? Right, moving on. Stay in that position. Going to the next exercise, we're doing something that many people do not like, which is mountain climbers.
Mm.
So holding that push-up position, the same straight arm plank with your body directly below your shoulders. Okay, I want you now to lift your right foot and drive your right knee into the center of your body. Almost like you're running on the spot. And then the left knee, and then the right knee, and the left knee. So you're basically pulling one knee into the chest and the other knee into the chest. And this is called mountain climbers, and you do as many as you can for 1 minute. A great exercise to shape and tone the legs, but also to burn fat. Keep on going. And the final exercise for today will just be a nice exercise. It's a variation on a yoga exercise called the downward dog. So in the same position that you were, with the arms straight in the plank, all I want you now to do is take your buttock up, straighten your legs and push your heels into the ground, and basically form a triangle with your buttock reaching up to the sky. Now, what this does is this. It stretches the entire upper body, works the back of the legs and the calf muscles, and then you drop it back down again, and then you lift the buttock up again. And this exercise you do for a minute. And that's how easy this workout is. A variation on traditional exercises. And for those of you that thought we're doing push-ups, guess again, we didn't do one push-up.
Indeed. And like we always say, Ronald, these exercises are so simple yet so intense.
You know, it's what you make of it to be. And you don't have to go out there and buy thousands of rands of gym equipment. If you can, great. But if you focus on the right exercises and the right movements like we're helping people to do, you will get the effect on the muscles and you'll get the effect on the body, inshallah.
Inshallah. And now into our discussion, we said we're going to be speaking about, you know, things that stop you from losing weight. Now, Ronald, what are some of the things that stop you from losing weight besides your diet and exercise?
You know, it's frustrating because many people, I mean, firstly, South Africa is an obese nation. You know, and that's a fact. You're one of the top five most overweight nations in the world. And it's frustrating because many people only realize they want to lose weight when they're seriously overweight, when they feel that tummy in front of them being too flabby, you know. And we can do a quick test, Brother Ijaz. Everyone, wherever you are, sit on a chair, and I want you to grab your tummy. Now, if you can grab a lot of your tummy, then you know you've got too much fat in that area. If you struggle to grab a lot, then you know that you're okay. It's a very quick test to see if you need to lose weight. But the top things that are stopping us from losing weight, besides is obvious, like you mentioned, is very simple. Number one, you're looking at you're depressed. Now, with depression, you often end up on antidepressant medication. And what this does is many people expect to see 2 to 10 kilogram increase in their weight over a period of time. Because there is evidence that shows that if you are feeling depressed, you tend to overeat, you tend to be inactive, and you tend to take a lot of medication, which causes real sluggishness in the body to tackle the depression. Remember, any medication you may be on does have side effects, and more often than not, that side effect it does equate to weight gain. So be very careful thereof. A couple of other things we should be careful of is lack of sleep, Brother John.
Yes.
Did you know that lack of sleep causes weight gain? And the reason is this, is because your body, you know, needs to go into a sleep cycle. There's changes in the hormone level, which increases hunger and appetite. And it makes you not feel as full after eating if you don't sleep often and sleep regularly and sleep soundly. So be very careful thereof. And a couple of other strange ones, stress. Stress increases the cortisol production of the hormone cortisol in the body. And this increases in appetite, causes an increase in appetite. So, yes, you will be eating more if you are stressed. Another one that could cause a lot of weight gain is what many women tend to blame is the pill, the menstrual pill that they may be on. Now, there are certain medical reasons for people to go onto the pill. Yes, it's to control the hormone production in the female body, etc. But some might experience weight gain related to fluid retention, but this is only short term. If you are concerned about weight gain and you are on this pill for the ladies, please go and chat to your gynae. And one other common one that is really out there that many people tend to blame menopause, especially the older woman. And yes, most women do gain some weight around the time of menopause, but hormones are not the only cause. Because as you age, your metabolism slows down, so you're burning fewer calories. There's changes in lifestyle, so you're less active. But really where you tend to be really getting a lot of menopause is when you find fat around your waist begins to accumulate, and these tires that shouldn't be there are there around your waist, and that is a serious concern and issue. But one more, just before I forget, would that be okay to give you one more?
Of course.
Well, the one is quitting smoking. Now, firstly, let me tell you out there, and I'm going to state this categorically. Every doctor and medical expert that I've spoken to has said that the best thing you can do for your health is to stop smoking. Don't come up with excuses of, no, I might die at some point, or no, I will get sick eventually, or it's just what I do. It is the most unhealthy thing you can do for your body. And once you quit smoking, okay, you may gain some weight, but it's less than you think. On average, people who stop smoking gain less than 3 to 5 kilograms, because really what smoking does is it's basically an appetite suppressant. So the minute you stop smoking, you tend to want to eat more. But your body will adapt to that very quickly. So if you're saying that you're carrying on smoking because you don't want to gain weight, get rid of that excuse, stop smoking, and then let's target not gaining weight.
You're listening to Mind, Body and Chow on Radio Islam International. We're speaking to Ronald Abaji. He's a fitness and wellness expert. If you've got any health questions you want to ask, you can do so by SMSing 48855. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or you can tweet us as well at EJAZ_K. And Ronald, I want to ask you about sleep. How much sleep should you be getting ideally?
You know, ideally, you look at an average adult should be getting between 6 to 8 hours of sleep a day. And the reason is this is it's just enough time to allow the body to recuperate and regenerate. When I was younger, I could survive on 4 or 5 hours sleep. You know, high adrenaline, work, you know, starting off my career. And, you know, you have a lot of energy at that age. But you find that it does take its toll on you. You can't catch up on sleep. But the negative effects thereof on your hormonal cycle, especially on that hunger hormone, etc., is seriously important. And you need to really, really be conscious thereof. So on average, an adult, 6 to 8 hours, please try and squeeze that in every day. You know? And the other thing is what it does, you know, is that when you look at sleep and you look at the effect on our eating, you know, you mentioned something that many people say, it's because of my food. But people don't realize, if you're having high fat, high ghee foods all the time, it affects your digestive system. So when that happens, yes, you might sleep later, you might eat or suffer later, so sleep impacts on a lot of things. Your gut digestion then becomes slow. So when that happens, you might be constipated. You know, so you could not realize that you're tentatively bloated, you risk gastroenteritis, all because of your sleep cycles out of whack, you're eating the wrong things all the time, and you're having high-fat foods constantly. So change the way you're eating, change the way that you're sleeping into a more regular pattern, and you will lose weight.
Great stuff. And I see someone has WhatsApped here. They're asking about the medication. It's a hormonal imbalance medication for polycystic ovaries. It's macrophage, I think it's
highlighted. Yeah. Well, polycystic ovarian syndrome, right? You get two things. You get polycystic ovary cancer and you get polycystic ovarian syndrome. Now, PCOS is a common hormonal problem in women of childbearing age. Now, most women with this grow small cysts on their ovaries, and the condition leads to hormone imbalances that affects a woman's menstrual cycle and can lead to things like extra body hair and possibly acne. Now, women with this condition are resistant to insulin. Now, that's a hormone that controls blood sugar, so it may cause weight gain because of that. Now, the weight tends to collect around the belly, putting these women at risk for greater heart disease as well. However, chat to your gynecologist. I had a chat very recently, actually last week, with a top gynecologist in the country, and she said to me, Ronald, no matter what the woman may have, whether they're pregnant, not pregnant, whether they're polycystic ovarian syndrome, they've got to watch what they eat, especially if it affects insulin. And number two is they've got to get active to combat this. Because although they may be hormonal balances, do not be inactive and watch what you eat. You can lose weight while you're having polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Indeed. Food for thought there from Ronald Abaji. Thank you so much, brother, for your time again. Yes, the time just flies, eh? And you will pick it up, inshallah, tomorrow. And we want the listeners to let us know. You know, today I want listeners from overseas, from other countries to let us know, where they're listening to us. And if they do join us for the workouts, we are getting lots of other messages locally of people that are joining us. So that's great.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to hear from our international listeners, you know, that do join us via the TuneIn Radio via audio streaming or satellite as well. You know, if they are joining us and if it's made a difference, we've been on air now for 3 weeks with the show, Ronald. It would be nice if we hear some success stories of people seeing some results since we started.
No, definitely so. And I encourage them, if they've got any topics they want us to tackle, let them tweet us, email us. We're there to help. And thank you to that sister from Rosny that called yesterday. And, you know, she listened to our show, and we actually helped understand that the pain she's experiencing is not arthritis, but could be something else. And inshallah, she will feel a lot better. She realized when she exercises, she feels a lot better. So alhamdulillah for that.
Hey, we've got a caller now, Ronald. We'll try and take that call quickly. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Salam, bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, and you?
Alhamdulillah, bhai, I have a problem, and it's now 2 months now. You know, I was hospitalized for vomiting and all that, and I am so weak since then. I'm feeling very weak. I did everything I could, but I cannot just get right. What do I do for my weakness?
Okay, listen on air, Ronald will give you the answer quickly, okay?
Right,
Jazakallah. Upper, thank you so very much for that. You know what? You sound very drained and weak. And my advice to that is that, you know, whatever may cause it, I'm sure they unpack what the cause may be. And I mean, it could be a couple of things, from emotional stress to gallbladder issues to infections to reaction to certain smells or whatever else it may be. But constant vomiting means you can't hold anything down. And solid foods become a very big problem because you can't digest it to give you energy. Because the body can't break it down. So my advice to the upper would be is that if she's allergic to anything, she must really identify what does she eat that causes her to vomit. And the second thing is, this is where things like smoothies or meal replacement shakes become very, very important. The particular brands out there that I know have been researched, that I've been involved in research on, that, you know, we really recommend to people who have these kind of concerns or issues. And it is not difficult to take. It's a mixture of particular nutrients, minerals, vitamins that you may need, and allows the body to ingest some, even though you may throw up thereafter. But for that, Afra, please email us as to what the cause was of the vomiting, so we can look in particular as to how we can advise you, because you really do sound weak. And by adjusting your eating strategy and what you eat and how you prepare it in solid foods, initially, we can help you gain energy and overcome what you're experiencing, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen. We hope that sister gets energy and gets well. And she must contact us if she needs further help. Jazakallah khair, Ronald. We'll pick it up tomorrow, inshallah. Have a good day, bro.
You too, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And straight from Ronald and the Verbal Fitness Sessions, we'll be speaking to Sumaya Kuvadia in a few seconds' time. We'll be talking about all things teens. What makes them tick? Why are they so rebellious? We'll continue with that series in a few seconds' time. Stay tuned.
It can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 488-55. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet EJAZ at EJAZ underscore K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
Here we go indeed, and into the teen world discussion with Sumaya Kuvadia. She joins us on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Jaz. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing very well, alhamdulillah.
Brilliant stuff. So today we're talking about useful things to know if you are a parent or a teacher or mentor, you know, to an adolescent. So let's start by asking, Sumaya, how many people out there, maybe we can get some answers. How many of you have been teens? No, I'm just kidding. First question, what's really going on in the head of an adolescent brain?
Yes, that's very, very interesting, Ijaz, because, you know, when we look at the adolescent brain, there is so much going on there that sometimes you can get lost. That's why it's called, you know, it's a brain under construction. And I just like to start off, you know, just by telling parents and, you know, if you're teachers, mentors, whatever you are, and you are listening right now, then you need to know this very important thing, that the scales that teens use to weigh out their options are biased in favor of the positive outcome, right? That's the reason they do all the crazy stuff that we as adults cannot even wrap our heads around, right? Because it's the pros far outweigh the cons, and quite simply, the risks just seems worth it. And now the other important thing about this positive bias scale, it gets activated especially when teens hang out with other teens, you know, or they believe their friends will somehow observe their actions. Because we always see teens doing things. Yes, sometimes they do things alone, but more often than not, they do it in groups. You know, I'm sure you remember a time, Ijaz, when you did all of the crazy stuff as well.
Yes, indeed.
Right? So when we look at what happens in the brain of a teenager and in the brain of an adolescent, you know, if we go back and we look at children's brains, they have a massive growth spurt when they're very young. And about the time when they are, you know, like 6 or 7, their brains are already about 90 to 95% of an adult size brain. We're just talking about the size here, right? But then the brain still needs a lot of remodeling before it can fully function as an adult brain. And that's what's going on in this adolescent period. You know, this brain is remodeling because it's happening at such an intense rate. And more often than not, we see adolescents, as we see them, they don't know how to cope with all of these different functions that are happening. And the idea is to get parents to be empowered with this knowledge so that they can help their kids out more. Now, when we look at, you know, the one aspect where I know a lot of people want to know, why are teens so rebellious? Why are they so demanding? You know, when we look at the front part of the brain, you know, which is the front, I know there's a lot of, you know, terms that I'm going to throw out, but inshallah, over the weeks, people are going to get it.
Yeah.
Right? When we're talking about the brain, we've got the prefrontal cortex, and that is our decision-making part of the brain that adults use. Mm. But this is the part of the brain that only gets developed last. You know, so teenagers are basically running on a high, intensely emotional brain. That's the reason you see them being moody all the time. You know, sometimes you're talking to them, but they're not there. Parents don't know how to control that part of theirs. But just know that your teenager going through this adolescent period, high intense emotion is part of being an adolescent, right? Because they have this flood of emotion. Because what happens is, if you think about it, emotion evokes motion. That's basically what it is, right?
Yeah.
But just like I said, the downside of all of this emotion is that, you know, we find them being irritable, we find them being more moody. It influences their behaviors. It influences the way they interact with people. That's the reason parents find that, you know, my teenager is just so rude. They're disrespectful. And yes, the thing is, I'm going to say, we need to teach our teens and we need to teach our adolescents how to be respectful. But again, in the same breath, understanding where they're coming from, because these teens are taking almost everything you say personally, and that's the reason they become more, you know, sort of emotionally intense. Something that you don't take personally, and you wonder, but I didn't even mean it that way, and why are they getting so aggressive? Just know it's because of the brain changes, and their brain is now functioning on that high intense emotional level. That's the reason.
Okay. Just a reminder, you can interact with us, and if you've got any questions in regards to teens, and maybe your kids are making you mull, and you need some help, Samir can help you out there. So you can call us 011-854-1548. And here's a question, or you can SMS as well, 48855. You know, the WhatsApp is 0727861548. Now, here's a question that a lot of parents will be asking, Samir. Why do teens find comfort with friends and no longer with parents?
That's a very interesting question, Ijaz. And, you know, I think here we need to say that parents actually feel rejected when their teenagers do that, right? But again, this is part of the social engagement that the brain goes through. You know, the different essences of life that we spoke about last week, you know, the essence of adolescence, and we broke it up. So this is now the social engagement part, because, you know, there's an area of the brain called the limbic area. And this part of the brain is associated with attachment. That is now our connection with other people. But now when we turn into teens and into adolescents, our attachment shifts. So instead of being seen, you know, the four things that we need as children, which is, you know, some of it is we need to be seen, we need to be soothed, we need to be secure and safe. From our parents, we need all of this. We now in adolescence, they basically move out of that and they go to their peers. And this is just something that is absolutely natural. You know, parents think, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, my teenagers are no longer with me. They no longer want to confide in me. They no longer want to talk to me. But this is all a natural process, right? This is all part of the adolescent brain, and it's needed for, you know, for growth. Because if you look at it, you know, there's safety in numbers. So teenagers, you know, I actually interviewed two teenagers, you know, asking them about different aspects. And the one thing what they told me was very interesting when I said this pushback against parental guidance and against, you know, adults in their life. And they said the reason some of them do it is because their home life is not loving. There's no real emotional connection. And they can't really talk to their parents because they know as teenagers they're going to be doing a lot of things that their parents don't approve of. So then I went on further to say, okay, fine. If your parents had to sit with you and actually ask you, why are you doing certain things? And if they did it in a calm manner, would you be able to answer them? And they said yes. So they gave me an example, you know, which was typical teenage behavior. For example, you know, two teens are racing. As a parent, you're going to think, how on earth can these teenagers even think of doing something so dangerous, right? And when I went on to ask them, tell me what goes on in your head before you can even do this, and they said, well, we don't think about it. For us, it's just to see who's going to win. And now imagine now both of them crashed because, well, obviously not a major accident, but both crashed because they don't have enough experience in driving perhaps, right? When they're out of that and when they go home, they feel that if the parents sat with them and, you know, maybe went through, I don't know if you remember, Ijaz, you know, in our series we did before, we went through the whole thing about parents asking these questions, you know, to create problem solvers of what made you do such behavior.
Yes.
They said they would respond much better. You know, if parents actually sat down with them, took the time to understand why they do what they do. So again, we're going to go back to this whole idea of communication between parent and child is absolutely important.
Indeed. And a message is coming through on WhatsApp. Sumaira says, Assalamu alaikum. I can relate to what you are saying at the moment. Anything I say to my teen is taken ultra personally. How do you have a decent conversation with your teen, or how do you guide them or advise them?
Jazakallah for that question. You know, that's very, very important. Again, we go into maybe something that is age-appropriate approach. For example, you know, if your teenager is maybe 13 or 14, right, and they come to you and probably they say that some teenagers will come to you and ask you, you know, can I do this? And some teenagers will come to you and say, I am doing this, right? They're more sort of assertive.
Yes.
And if you are a parent to a 14-year-old, you can tell them, sure, you know what, I am still your parent and I'm still responsible. I'm still responsible for your safety. Yet, however, I'd like to get for you what you want. So let's talk about this more and see how can we do this together. Right? And obviously, if it's an older, you know, an older teenager, maybe an 18, 19-year-old, where they think, you know what, everything is in their control and they know how to do things, then the approach with that is different again. So which age-appropriate behaviors, and inshallah, as the weeks go along, we're going to be touching on these topics and giving examples of how parents can really get into the communication part of things.
Yes. And I see another message. You know, we've got so many questions still to go through, Sumaira, in terms of what we wanted to discuss, but the listeners, of course, come first. And
yes,
a message just coming through now. Salams, my question is, my daughter is only 10, but she's acting out. I can't handle her. She doesn't listen. She always has an answer for everything. I say to her, how do I respond to this?
And that again, you know, we're going to go back to the emotional spark that's going on with their 10-year-old. Remember, these are highly emotional beings. Ijaz, we have to think, you know, just for 1 hour in a day, if we could put adults in that emotional zone, you can be as emotional as you want and think of nothing else. Your rational brain doesn't come into play at all. Tell me, what kind of things are you going to be thinking, doing, and how are you going to be reacting to people? Right? You're going to be half the time, you're going to be irritable. You're going to take everything somebody else says in the wrong manner.
Yeah.
Right? So what I tell this, you know, this mother here, at this time, yes, your teenager is going through, she's not even a teenager as yet, but your child is already displaying this high intense emotional state. So you shouldn't take things personally as a parent. And another thing is, we have to teach our, you know, our children different discipline rules. So that falls under authoritative parenting, where yes, you sit and you collaborate with your child and say, okay, there's a reason why she is throwing up tantrums all the time. So sit with her and really speak to her and see, okay, what is really going on here with you? How can we together make this better?
And just as we're coming to the end of the show, another question coming in. I'll ask the question, Sumaira, but I think we'll pick it up, inshallah, next week because we've run out of time. The question reads, my teen boy is 17. How do I explain that every time he lies, it makes it more difficult for me to trust him? He's getting involved with girls and vulgar talk and more. Please advise, how do I manage this? So, Sumaira, we'll pick this up, inshallah, next week on Teen World when we discuss this next week, Tuesday, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your time, Sumaira. It's flown by as usual. We need lots of time for this, but half an hour just flies by, or 15 minutes in this segment indeed. But jazakallah khair, Sumaira, for the insights, and I'm sure the parents are, you know, learning a lot, and we'll pick it up next week, Tuesday, inshallah.
Inshallah, Jazakallah, and that is our aim, you know, just to empower parents so that this whole big gap can be bridged somehow.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair again, and have a wonderful day, Sumaira.
I will. Jazakallah, and you too, Ijaz.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, indeed, that was Life Coach Sumaira Kavadia talking to us on Teen World and all things teen. And you can still send your questions through if you want. We'll try and entertain it next week, inshallah, on the segment. You can email ejaz@radioislam.co.za. You can tweet at @EJAZ_K. And if you want, you can SMS 48855 or WhatsApp as well, 072-786-1548. And it's the end of Mind, Body and Chow for this Tuesday afternoon. Jazakallah khair for sending all your questions. And we'll pick it up next week, or rather, we'll pick it up tomorrow, Usama, as another installment of Mind, Body and Chow. From Usama and myself, Ijaz Khan, it's...
Assalamu alaikum.
سبيل الدموع سبيل